I want to introduce the speaker and the majority leader today. Majority Leader Ralph Okerlund lives in Monroe, just south of Richfield, and if you ever stop by his place, he's happy to take you to Steve's Steakhouse in Richfield, which really is the best steakhouse in central Utah. You may know that Speaker Hughes and I started Red Meat Radio almost 7 years ago. And that has been running ever since, and we are now almost the number two weekend most listened to radio show in Utah, which is a pretty big deal. And we started out by saying, welcome to Inside Utah Politics, setting the record straight, where we bring you 2 hours of Red Meat Radio as an alternative to those sissy Saturday morning garden shows. 1 week we had Senator Jerry Stevenson, who owns J&J Garden Center in Layton, on, and it was a little embarrassing to have that introduction. But without further ado, we want to hear what we can expect in the way of taxes and what the legislature did and the perspective from the leadership, and so we'll go with the lower house first, and then we'll end with the Senate.
Such a Senate move. You know, it's been fun to do that radio show, and it's fun to work with Howard. I consider Howard one of my closer friends, but as you get closer, you fight more sometimes because you know, all the formalities go away, and so we like to argue a lot. But he's been a great example. When I came into the legislature back in 2002, Howard helped prepare me for the legislative experience, and we've been close all this time. And so I appreciate even his leadership in the legislature, but also here for the Utah Taxpayers Association. And as the years have gone by and I've participated in this event, this is a thought bank. I've not seen a whole lot of game-changing legislation that's happened at the Capitol that hasn't been talked about and thoroughly explored here at this conference. And that's to the credit of the Taxpayers Association and its leadership that we can talk and get wonkish. The toughest thing that I have found, particularly this last session, is that when you get into some of these tough decisions and sometimes recently generational decisions, the amount of data, the amount of unintended consequences you want to protect against, they don't lend themselves to sound bites, and they don't lend themselves to headlines in newspapers. They're very it's a full conversation, and it's not in one meeting. And so that communicating to your constituents that you represent, communicating to the press, some of the things that we're weighing as a legislative body is one of the hardest jobs we have. And so when you have a conference like this, you can dig deep, and you are opinion leaders. Everyone that's here has a role within our community that's influential, it's powerful, and hopefully from a conference like this, you'll draw conclusions that you can share amongst your circle of influence. And so we hope, maybe in an organic way, the things that we discuss here really do start to spread, and in a more substantive way than maybe the spin lines and the quick quips that you see in the media's reporting. Hopefully that starts to spread. I was in talking about taxes, and I'll let the House of Lords, the old and the slow, you know, play cleanup and tell you everything you need to know. So I'm just going to say one more thing. I had a funny experience yesterday. Last week during our interim, Utah Policies reporter Bob Burnick pulled me aside at our lunchtime and said, "Hey, are you guys talking about tax cuts this year?" And it caught me off guard because I got to tell you that since I've become speaker, we haven't been talking tax cuts, but what we have been talking about is an incredible amount of increased spending of state dollars. If you take the Medicaid expansion proposal, that's $80 million ongoing, and I have spent every waking hour talking about how to predict the spending, how to mitigate the risk of getting involved in something where the spending could get too far or too aggressive, where taxpayers can't pay those bills. All I've done, I feel like, is talk about runaway spending or trying to guard against it. So the conversation of tax cuts have just not come up. And so instead of just announcing that I love tax cuts. $400 million we've cut in state taxes since I've been a legislator. I have voted for every one of them, and I love to talk about tax cuts and supply-side economics. All I'm doing and all my bandwidth has been spent on so far is trying to mitigate or reduce spending in a way that could potentially be reckless or unsustainable. So my answer to Bob was, yeah, no, it hasn't come up. Tax cuts have not been the topic of conversation amongst anyone that I've been talking to. That wasn't a preference about tax cuts. That wasn't meant to say that I don't like or think we ought to be considering them. I was reflecting the political atmosphere in which we are in right now. And if we want to talk about tax cuts, we just got to pick, okay? Do you want to talk about how fast we spend and how much more? There's a program out there that's $80 million more ongoing money. Is there $80 million, representatives, of unspoken money out there? Does anyone see that? I got to find it, okay? We got to find it if we want to go spend more, okay? I don't see it. We got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. If we're going to talk about that, let's talk about it. If we want to talk about tax cuts, I love that conversation. We can do it, but we got to pick, okay? And we got to decide what we want to do and what the direction we want to take this state. And I'm good with both. We can talk about how to mitigate risk and what we're going to spend. We can talk about reducing the burden on the taxpayer and letting this economy thrive and seeing bills paid that way. I just don't know how you talk about both in a serious policy way. So anyway, I just want to explain that because there's a lot of people thinking that Hughes now hates tax cuts, and that wasn't actually what I was saying. So anyway, I think our economy, unique in the Mountain States, is doing very well comparatively. You look at Arizona, they are in a $1 billion shortfall. For lawmakers that have been around, we know what a $1 billion shortfall feels like, and it is not a good time. There's a lot of needs out there that go unmet when you see that we've been too aggressive or the economy has not kept pace with the appropriations that we've passed. So Arizona, neighboring state, western state, is going through a tough time right now, and that is very different than what we're looking at. We're looking at a growth. We're looking at surpluses, not giant, but we're looking at that sustained growth. But we're outpacing the rest of the country, and I think for important reasons, and I think that a lot of the things we'll talk about in this conference are directly related to why the state of Utah and its economy is doing so much better or outpacing some other states in the country. So I look forward to the conference. I'm going to be participating on the Medicaid expansion discussion here later this morning, which I'm excited to do. I think there's a lot to discuss there. And again, looking forward to the policy matters that we'll be debating or contemplating here in the conference. Senator?
As usual, there isn't much left to clean up after the speaker speaks first, but it's great to be with you. This is a great conference always. As you look at the agenda, we're going to be dealing, talking about a lot of the issues that we dealt with in the last session, how they affect us, and then also how we move forward with a lot of those issues. And I thought I'd just give you a really quickly kind of a brief synopsis of some of the issues that we talked about during the last session that will also have some carryover effect. And I'm going to go through these really quickly. Because I think it kind of points to where we might be going in the next session. We did forcible entry amendments, law enforcement accountability, including body cams, no-knock warrants, use of force study, school turnaround, Medicaid expansion, clean air bills and funding, gas tax and road funding, non-discrimination and marriage, religious freedoms, marriage bills, justice reform, state employee salary increases, the largest WPU increase since 2008. We talked about sex ed, school turnaround, a cow sharing bill, not to be confused with double dating, medical marijuana, constitutional carry, firing squad, prison, rape definitions, including the unconscious, contact lens, game foul fighting, driver's license, workers' comp for firefighters, Article 5 resolution, balanced budget amendment, prescription database revision, seatbelt laws, civic education, school board elections, local government revisions, education funding, firing squad, water law, water funding, bonding, more bonding, less bonding, no bonding. The issues go on and on. We passed over 500 bills, and they've now been signed into law. We have already had 150 bill files open for the next session, and it's just the end of May. So there's a lot going on in the legislature. We had a really heavy session last year, and I think probably the heaviest session that I've been involved with since I've been on the Hill in dealing with the issues that we dealt with. I think some of the issues that we dealt with are settled for a long period of time. We look at transportation funding. We're probably now through talking about any increase in transportation funding for a generation. It was a difficult discussion, but it was something that the legislature felt like something needed to be done. As we look forward on some of the issues that we're going to be dealing with in the future, a lot of those are going to be dealing with infrastructure, because we have this great economy that the speaker mentioned, and we have people who want to come here to the state of Utah, in addition to all of the natural growth that we have with our own children and grandchildren. And so we're going to see this tremendous growth over a period of the next several decades. We're going to continue to grow economically because of the way we manage our state, and our staff is a big part of that management. We have tremendous staff that help us through the landmines that we have out there and how to work on these very difficult issues. But Utah has become an example for the nation. And it doesn't matter whether it's our economic policy or some of the other more difficult policy issues that we dealt with, like the non-discrimination law that Senator Adams worked so hard on all the way through the session, and Representative Dee and others. We are now looked at kind of nationwide as a tremendous example to follow. I think we need to continue to be conservative, and this organization is really a spear point that helps us, that allows us to be able to do that. We need the support of a group like the Taxpayers Organization and you folks that are a part of the policymaking that goes on out there, because what makes Utah a great state is not that we have people that are just outstanding leaders, although that's a part of it, but we have a lot of people that are helping drive policy to get us to the policies that allow us to be a leader for the country, and I think we're going to continue to see that be the case. We have the opportunities that the speaker mentioned so many of. We have some challenges, but we're going to be able to deal with those challenges because we have some great leadership at all levels and great staff to allow us to be able to deal with those issues. So again, I thank you for your participation and look forward to working with all of you as we move forward on these very difficult issues that we're going to face.